everybody. Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé Cray Cray. I'm Kim.
And I'm Kyle. And after this tell-all, I am over here clutching my candles very tightly. Kim, you there? What are you doing?
Oh, sorry, Kyle. I was texting Maddie and Jake to see which one of them left those dirty envelope panties on Gino's doorstep. It's got to be one of them, right?
The typed note. So awesome. I love that even Manuel is like, no, that's bullshit.
I know. I was like, somebody drove to Gino's house, left that shit on the doorstep, and they were cracking up. Like, I wish it had been me, honestly. I wish that you and I could take credit for this hilarious prank.
Well, okay. Follow me for a second here. The stripper, I just don't believe. I'm sorry, her name's Daisy. My apologies. The Daisy scene and the full-on strip club scene airing, and then a fan going, and then putting, like, the timeline doesn't add up. Is what I'm getting at.
No,
this is 1,000% a fucking producer.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm so all for it.
Oh, I'm 100% for it. It occurred to me if it wasn't somebody we know, it was Jasmine herself, like, creating, like, yeah, meta drama. But
it was cousin funny. Dane or something.
Yeah. Sean Robinson's like, the tell-all right. needs something because there's not a whole lot going on with these people. I love that was the funniest thing. Nikki and Jasmine, though, they're too close for comfort. I'm like, don't be friends. Nikki knows that if she clings to Jasmine, she'll be invited back for something. And we just don't need her in the franchise, you know?
That's true. I predicted total chaos from Nikki the entire time. I thought she was fine and, like, pretty reasonable. And I didn't really object to anything that was happening as a result of her. And Igor I just have a feeling still from day one that this is all completely fake and reenacted, and not even, I just don't believe for a second that they were actually even together. That dude was so checked out and just having the time of his life trolling people the entire time.
Hold your candles. Hold your candles, Ashley. I was like, Igor, you cannot deliver a joke. If his delivery was different, he would actually be funny. But I don't know.
Yeah. There was something there. You could have turned that into a, you know, light a prayer candle, Ashley, like, every time that she got a little bit too bothered. But you're right. It just missed the mark. And then even worse, he sent the same joke like 6 times to her.
Oh my God.
Like, come on, man.
He thought of that beforehand because he knew he
yeah,
did.
He was, I mean, locked he said and loaded.
He said some really offensive things, to be clear.
Yeah.
But it's just like, it's so, just the Nikki and Igor stuff is so fakey that it's hard to take it seriously. I don't know. But yeah, he said some fucked up stuff. they tried to, like, Sean Robinson tried to, like, prod Sam and Citra and also Nick and Devin, God, I forgot her name for a hot second. But they're both like too chill. They're like, yeah, there's nothing here.
It was so funny that everyone was just gasping in horror that Sam had this one night stand, and you could see it on Chitra's face. She's like, yeah, it was a while ago. I trust him. It's all good.
She's like, we haven't met yet. It's okay.
Sean Robinson, just in her internal monologue, is like, fuck. Okay, back to Nikki. Let's get some screaming and panic attacks.
What do I ask now, Barbara? Barbara,
help. Please help, Barbara. I don't know what to do. She's like, giving me nothing.
The best
so,
quote
how for- do you how do you feel about being called a fucking pig for 4 years? Well, you know, I wish he... I kept that just between us, but not a big deal. Barbara, please help.
The best quote from Sean Robinson was like when Jasmine was just losing her mind and Sean's just like, wow. Wow. Okay. That's it.
We're not going to solve this today. I hope your marriage continues to improve because you're going to be on HEA for 78 more years.
You know what the storyline for HEA is going to be. So we missed this last week somehow.
Daisy shows up at the house.
Oh, God, please. That would be great. No, but the it's funny that Gino dated a stripper before, too. Like, why haven't we heard about that 17,000 times? But
I mean, it tracks as a sugar baby situation.
I feel like I really missed this last week. There was a Reddit thread that talked about how Jasmine said in the tell-all part one that she was bisexual. Did we miss that? She said, I have the quote here. I mean, I have had girlfriends in the past, so I get attracted to women as well as men. I don't know. I've always had a crush on Nikki. Hypothetically, if I was Nikki's partner, I would fuck her. I would lick her pussy.
Jesus Christ, I don't remember that at all.
Maybe this is made up. Look, there's a lot of fake news out there, y'all. I don't know what's true, but Reddit's a cesspool as well. We don't know what's true.
I mean, I thought it was really funny that Jasmine gave Nikki a much longer and deeper hug than Gino ever gave to Daisy.
And Shibuti posted a picture of them on Instagram kissing. Like, super filtered. I thought it was AI generated. But apparently it's like maybe real, like 50% real. Yeah.
Yeah. You just need more HEA cannon fodder, you know? That's all it is.
Maybe Shibuti left the panties on Gino and Jasmine's doorstep.
Excellent. Keep the drama moving. Keep it going. It's just funny to me that the hug was what caused her to have an absolute psychotic meltdown. But then she like very calmly takes the panties out later on. And it's like, because she knows she has to know that is fake as fuck. She has to
absolutely.
Know.
Absolutely.
She's just trying to stir the pot.
It was so fun. Gino just sat there like a potato. You know, he's just, there's nothing to say. There's nothing to do. And it was also hilarious that the entire cast was like Team Gino. They're like, yeah, she's too much. I couldn't deal with the jealousy. It's a lot. It was, the whole thing was great. Thank you, Jasmine, for giving us something.
I think a rational viewer would be, let me rephrase, a rational American viewer with an American sensibility about bachelor parties, I think would have to be Team Gino for this entire thing. But I do think that Sophie had a reasonable position, which was, you just don't seem to really care that she's freaking out. But on the other hand, if you're Gino, how many times have you fucking seen this?
Right.
And you know that if you just remain calm, it's going to blow over in 10 minutes, which it did.
Yeah. And I mean, somebody made a good point that was, didn't Jasmine have strippers to her divorce party? And why is it different? That was in her house.
Yeah. The guy shoved his cock in her face while she was on the couch. I made like 10 memes about it back when I used social media.
Yeah. Social media. I also love that Rob was the only person that understood Igor's terrible, jacking off.
I loved it.
Rob was like, he's saying he's jacking off a lot. I'm like, of course,
Rob. He beats off. I know that one. This guy knows what I'm talking about.
So funny.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Let's talk about this tell-all. Where do we start?
We are continuing with a ongoing screaming panic attack that is incredibly ridiculous. you know, I'm willing to believe that Jasmine does have like serious emotional problems, but yeah. this is the least offensive thing that Gino has basically ever done.
It is.
But she gives the most performative, over-the-top, insane reaction we've ever seen from her. And it's just, it's hard to take seriously.
It's bad. Look, Igor, they did like a really quick pan to Igor, and he is dying laughing during this whole charade.
Yeah. Rob is struggling to keep it together, too.
I know. Gina's like, 99% of the time I was just sitting at a table with my family, which Daisy the stripper confirms. And Jasmine, you can hear in the background screaming, he doesn't love me!
He never hugged me that way! Really? Come on. I mean, I know like, that Gino is not like super affectionate, but he never hugged you that way.
It's a lot. So we're just going to give Jasmine the space she needs to calm down.
Yeah.
Let's talk to Daisy while she's calming down. Daisy.
That'll help.
Yeah. I love that Daisy, like, I don't know if it was like a fake background, but she had like, did you see the two like hang, like there was long kind of hangers of all the stripper outfits in the background.
Yeah, they made it seem like she was in the strip club dressing room, which if that was fake, so that's amazing.
So good. He seemed a little like worried about being at the club. Like she confirms if Jasmine had just listened to Daisy, she'd feel better. Daisy was like, yeah, he was on great behavior. I've seen a lot worse. He didn't really do anything bad at all.
He hugged her. That's it. It's pretty absurd, and everyone is team Gino quick.
Yeah,
really fast. The performance from Jasmine does nothing but make everyone horrified. I mean, can you imagine what's going through Devin's mind as she's watching this complete fucking meltdown? Keep in mind also, Devin's parents are backstage waiting to come on, listening to this screaming meltdown. And she's just thinking, Nick, why the fuck did we agree to be recruited to come on this fucking show?
I'm trying to envision like my father being backstage, like with Jasmine and Nikki, just Nikki and like 17 layers of tulle, of hot pink tulle, and Jasmine just like with her boobs just like heaving.
They looked even bigger at part two of the tell-all. They somehow looked bigger than part one. It's amazing.
There's like a vein that was going to pop in her boob. Like it's incredible. But Gino says, Jasmine's upset because his ex worked at a strip club, to which Sean Robinson replies, I don't think we knew that. Why didn't we know, Sean Robinson? Maybe if you asked some more detailed questions, we would know.
Well, she got the message later when she just did a roundtable about how often everyone fucks, which is...
that was my favorite part. So Devin awkward. And Nick, how often do you have sex? Oral versus full penetration. Tell me. They're like, we're not answering that.
Hey, Nick, have you blasted her in the ass yet? Hey, Sam, how often do you finger her under the bleachers at the rodeo?
Oh, God. Oh, Sean Robinson. It's good stuff.
Oh, Clayton
was so excited that they had banged twice that week. So yeah, Gino's just like, okay, he's so calm through this whole thing. He's just like, I've been through this. What am I supposed to do? Ashley, you know how, says, Gino, Ashley, if you were fucking her, she wouldn't be so sensitive. What?
Yes, Ashley, we understand that your solution to everything is penetration. We understand that. Thank you very much.
Gino has to explain that because she's so crazy, his dick is limp. So, you know, we just can't solve that.
Well, we're not going to solve this today. I was just completely convinced beyond, you just can't convince me that this wasn't fake after she brings up the lip gloss with Daisy. Give me a
funny
fucking break, dude. Give Daisy, me a break. You mean to tell me you seriously are asking if a stripper got into Gino's car when his entire family was there with him?
Right.
Stop
his he was not driving. You've got to be like, he was drunk for sure.
Well, that's a good, yeah, that's an even better point than his family just being there. Of course he didn't drive to his own bachelor party at the strip club.
So dumb. And like, Daisy is just like, no. And yeah, that's an even dumber question because of what happens next when we take a break, that Jasmine's like, Gino, this is it. It's the end. And Gina's just sitting there because he clearly doesn't believe her. And then in the break room, we get envelope panty gate, where.
So why didn't she ask Daisy about the panties?
Exactly. Exactly.
It makes no fucking sense.
The reasonable question would have been, Daisy, are these your panties in this envelope that was left on our doorstep? And also, was that your lip gloss? Because the owner of the lip gloss in the envelope panties, per the note in the envelope panties, was, that was my lip gloss. This is a hilarious prank by a fan, by the way, because it was pretty harmless. I don't believe that Jasmine really believes this to be true, is why I say it's harmless. And it was so funny. I laughed so hard.
I mean, if Jasmine was genuinely this broken, it would actually be super fucked up to do this to someone. You know what I mean?
I know.
Like, you're essentially exploiting someone that has clear mental illness. But at this point, I just don't believe that she's really this unhinged. So,
I don't either. Yeah. I mean, I thank you, Jasmine, for giving us TV, because this is the drama we need. What did you think about Rob in the green room saying, hey, Gino, didn't she have strippers at the divorce party?
I liked Sam saying, well, Rob, I feel better about your fucking relationship.
Everybody in the green room is team Gino. Sophie's like, she's talking about her ex all the time and how he's better in bed. Like, it would really give me a complex. So it surprised me. Like, everybody's team Gino. Everybody forgets that Gino sent naked pictures of Jasmine to his sugar baby like 3 years ago. I know.
That was so much worse. And yeah, she had a very strong reaction to that, but she was not screaming and wailing this much. I mean, it was pretty.
That merited a strong reaction. This does not.
Right. Right.
So, I mean, Gino admits, he says, like, look, yeah, this letter was left on our front porch. I do believe this is somebody trolling them 100%. And Gino's like, it was a fan or somebody trying to fuck with us. Manuel's like, yeah, there's always going to be people that want to hurt you. He does not believe for a second this is real at all. Manuel is like, continues to be just the golden child of this entire season. He's so funny.
Finally, at the very end of this green room scene, even Nikki tells Jasmine, you need to know that he loves you and you need to be stronger than this. Like, this is absurd.
But don't touch those envelope panties because you'll get a fungus. It's like, what? What fungus? Nikki and Igor, let's talk about. Well, we're not gonna solve this panty mystery today. Right. So we'll talk to Nikki and Igor about if they're broken up or engaged, which we don't have a clear answer on. Do we, Kyle?
Maybe they're broken up. Maybe they're not. Maybe they're in love. Maybe they're not. Let's just try to convince everyone that these two are really in love with each other. And it's just ridiculous. It's just the beginning was the most boring, annoying back and forth bickering. I just stopped taking notes.
I know. I don't know what to say about it except for that Justin does this like monologue in Russian. And what I gathered from that monologue is that he is basically Moldovan Azin. Because remember when Azin would just be like, I'm free, Nickel's gone home. Oh my God, thank God. He says, I became free after Nikki left.
I thought that the montage they played was really funny because it tries to paint him as this sympathetic figure, almost like emotionally abused man that right. is just constantly being browbeaten. And then one day, all of a sudden, one fine day, the sun shone through my window and I could hear the birds chirping again. And then everyone just is like, fuck you, Igor, you piece of shit. I
know. He's like, I just want stability. And everybody knows he's just like playing the victim. And he says some really offensive things about Nikki that I don't want to repeat. But every time anybody comes at him, mainly Ashley, he just deflects by saying, hold some candles, Ashley. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you believe that Nikki flew out to Moldova for his birthday?
I mean, I don't know. I guess.
He admitted that he had sex with her when she did that. So I don't understand, like, is he attracted to her or not? Because he does seem to, like, sleep with her when she's there.
The whole storyline of the, I'm not defending Igor, but the whole storyline of the season was her uncomfortably browbeating him to fuck her. Yeah. And I think that if he does sleep with her, it's to shut her up and to keep the money coming.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is.
Yeah. I mean, he probably was like, oh, I need to buy some things.
Yeah.
Better get back on her payroll.
My, my cash started to dry up after everyone saw me in a Nazi uniform. So come on over, babe.
Shit. So Nikki says they're technically engaged again, but Igor says they're not. So
no. Bad vibes.
And then Igor tries to make some jokes about Nikki just wanting his dick, which I'm like, I don't know. I think that maybe she does just want your dick because it's like all she talks about.
Kim, you see this arm? You see this arm right here?
That was funny. I love that Rob was the only person that caught on to what he was trying to say there. So funny. But these two, they just fucking hate each other. They're just hurling accusations back and forth. It's awful. Hate it. What else?
I mean,
she did that.
Yeah. Ashley's really pissed off. I think clearly. I mean, nothing she said was wrong, but this episode, he was the villain in the first episode, but they really stepped it up this time. He just looks like an idiot. I don't even know if it's a cultural thing. It's not even that. He's just like purposely antagonistic, and he has this idea that if people come at me, I'm going to respond back and like, okay, I get it. You're at a tell-all, but nothing as you kind of mentioned, like none of his jokes land. He comes off as both aloof, but also gross and problematic at the same time. Just not a good performance, but also not funny, not interesting. And because I just don't believe that this relationship is anything but a reenactment, the whole thing was very boring to me.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't know. Manuel was funny when he said, like, nothing Igor says makes any sense.
Yeah, right. Keep it simple. what the fuck are you talking about?
I know. Okay, Kyle, let's talk about Lomi. We've had our Lomis for, I think, a year now, right?
Yeah, about a year. I can't remember what it was like to throw all that food in the trash. I have my trash can in the garage, and it's not an issue at all anymore.
You're all probably wondering what a Lomi is. It's
a smart and simple solution to turn food scraps into plant food in just 4 hours. So Lomi transforms almost anything you eat into nutrient-rich plant food at the push of a button.
My wife and I absolutely hate throwing away food. It smells and it just feels kind of wrong, you know? It fills up your trash super fast. You don't even notice until you start using the Lomi to make plant food.
Yeah. You know, if you've always wanted to start composting but didn't want to invest in like worms and some like weird smelly thing in your backyard, like I'm with you. A Lomi device is about the size of a crock pot. It does not smell. I have mine sitting on my kitchen counter. Kyle, I think you have yours in like your mudroom or your garage.
Yeah, I have it just outside my mudroom in the garage. And I can also vouch for the fact that it doesn't smell at all. It certainly doesn't smell as bad as Polish father-in-law's food. I have friends with composting stuff out in their yard, and the smell when you walk by it can totally be offensive.
Yeah, like all my food scraps and my plant clippings and even leftovers from like the deep, dark back of my fridge, they all go into the Lomi, and then I distribute the dirt it produces to my house plants and then my garden in the spring when I have a garden outside.
You want to know how amazing Lomi is? You can just take Polish father-in-law's mush and dump it right in the Lomi, and you have a net reduction in stench. Like, that's just magical.
Yeah, I'm not eating that mush, so if it were in my house, it'd go straight in there. Whether you want to start making a positive environmental impact or just grow a beautiful garden, Lomi is perfect for you. Head to lomi.com/craycray and use promo code craycray to get $50 off your Lomi.
That's $50 off when you head to lomi.com/craycray and use promo code craycray at checkout. Thank you, Lomi, for sponsoring this episode.
About a month ago, I told you about my new sheets from Boll & Branch, and this was right after the Sophie episode where she was complaining that all she wanted in life was a duvet, and I kind of felt bad that she didn't have my, like, lovely brand new Boll & Branch sheets and matching duvet. As I've mentioned many times on this podcast, I'm extremely particular about bedding, and I just like to have my bed look and feel nice. I mean, I'm spending like 30% of my life in bed, so it's kind of important to me. I've had my sheets for about 2 months now, and I can tell you that as they told me they would, these sheets actually do get softer with each and every wash. In a recent customer survey, 96% of customers said the Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash, and now I understand why this is so, because it's true. The sheets are made from the rarest 100% organic cotton in a buttery and breathable weave that gets softer and softer over time. And you can feel the difference with their 30-night worry-free guarantee. I think my husband might even be more particular than me about bedding, and he loves these sheets, which is incredible. We also got them in this oak color. It's kind of like a brownie green, maybe like a muted olive. It's gorgeous. And it's a lot more fun than just plain old beige. And really, I just like that Boll & Branch doesn't use any harsh chemicals. I was surprised to find out that like a lot of bedding is actually made with formaldehyde and synthetic pesticides, toxic dyes, just like some really crazy stuff. But never at Boll & Branch. And these sheets really just do feel luxurious. Like after we wash them, they just keep getting better. And it's just unlike any other sheets I've ever had. Maybe we could actually get Sam and Rob to wash their bedding if it actually got softer and more buttery every time they washed it. Sleep better at night with the softest sheets from Boll & Branch. Get 15% off your order when you use promo code CRAYCRAY at BollAndBranch.com. That's Boll, B-O-L-L, and Branch, BRANCH.com/CRAYCRAY to get 15% off your first order when you use promo code CRAYCRAY. BollAndBranch.com.
So who's next?
Mom brought nothing that we hadn't already seen. You know, I don't know.
Oh, I forgot she was there. Even there. Yeah. That was later too. Nothing.
So then we have Sam and Chitra. They said basically like she's pregnant. Everything feels the same, says Sam, except the way she's acting. I was like, oh God, why?
I mean, Kim, based on this scene, I think it's clear that his sperm entered her brain and they became one with Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously. Because why else would she be totally chill with him getting the BJ for real?
Yeah. I know.
I guess if I'm ever single again, I'm just hopping in and do an Uber.
Yeah, that's all you got to do. Yep.
Yeah.
It is pretty crazy that, like, I've never gotten into a rideshare and been like, when I was single, of course, like, maybe
I could have sex with this guy.
maybe I could just, like, hook up with this dude. Yeah. That sounds like a good idea.
That seems totally safe and like, yeah.
Not harassy. Yeah.
Right.
Well, Rob did get a little comment in there where he said, where Sam's like, I don't have to go back to jail. I just have to take daily drug tests. I have to do this. I have to do that. And Rob's like, you're going to do great, man. I was like, Rob, way to be supportive of Sam. It was a nice gesture.
Rob had his moments in episode one, but overall, I think most people thought he did well for Rob. You know, we had low expectations and he exceeded them, but he came off pretty supportive and like pretty normal this episode too.
He did. Mark my words, HEA, they're flipping this around. They always do this. They're going to make Sophie out to be the villain. They're going to make Rob look good. You heard it here first. So this affair storyline that they try to dig up, she does not care at all. They bring up some of their, like, it looks like these are videos from their, like, application to be on 90 Day Fiancé.
Yeah, and it's funny how this never made it into their main storyline. It really does look like an audition tape, you know? And
they're digging deep for drama.
Right.
Because there isn't any.
Exactly. They couldn't get Alien Dad. They didn't even have her dad on Skype calling in. So we got to dig up fucking something because these two are doing great. I'm also kind of surprised. I guess it was just based on the filming date that they didn't bring up his brother dating her sister.
Why?
There was nothing there except one time he fucked someone else and now it's totally fine moving on. Right.
I just can't believe how successful Sam is at like chase and tail, you know, like
it's bizarre,
so confusing, but like fucking I guess maybe in person he has swagger.
Hank Hill body motherfucker, like he's just, I guess you just, if you're, as long as you're not like too creepy looking, if you can just be a horny motherfucker and it's all gonna fall into place. I don't know,
I guess.
It's crazy to me.
Chitra was so chill about this news. She was like, well, it's okay. He told me that that girl tried to do something freaky with him in bed and he ran out and left. It's almost like Sam half-assed told her the truth that they like hooked up, but then she got freaky and he got scared instead of like, actually we banged. Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Have you seen my 12 by 12 foot bed? Come over here, baby. Let me introduce you to some people.
Can't wait to talk about Seeking Sister Wife. Oh, anyway. Yeah. So there's just no drama. They trust each other. They're really confident. They have a great relationship. And Jasmine says the baby doesn't need perfect parents, just happy ones. Which is definitely a reason that Jasmine and Gino should have a baby.
They should completely have children. Yeah. Maybe that's the reason Gino never fucks her.
Yeah.
She's slow playing.
Well, he's the one that wants the kid. She didn't.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. It feels like it changes every week.
Yeah.
That storyline lasted, I think, 35 seconds.
I know. It was bad. Green Room. I wish we had Alien Dad. Why didn't they bring on Alien Dad? I want to hear some shit about aliens.
Maybe they did, but he was just so fucking boring and had nothing funny to say about aliens.
Got to get him when he's in his element. He's got to be in his own environment, you know.
Couple Yinglings in him.
Back in the green room.
Hearing Sasquatch on the roof.
Oh, my God. The roof. That was funny. Back in the green room, Nikki tries to make out that this, like, Sam and Chitra drama is actual drama. But Chitra's, like, so chill and is basically like, nah, trust him. And so it goes nowhere. But she tries to instigate. She really did. And then Gino still maintains he didn't do anything wrong. So let's move on to Clayton and Annalie.
Mom doesn't live with them in Tulsa, which is good. And so the important question that we need to ask all couples at this point is do you fuck, and how often do you fuck? And I need numbers. I need rates. I need velocity. Let's talk. Jeez. Basically, everyone says the exact same fucking thing twice a week, except Sam, who blows loads every 20 minutes, essentially.
Basically, what did they even answer? Were they like, every day?
At least once a day, which is crazy at that point in her pregnancy. Like, that's pretty.
She's energetic, more energetic than I was.
She's horny as fuck, too, dude.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they're well matched. It's great. Good for you. Clayton and Annalie he's just happy that they bang twice this week. Now Annalie, for some reason, feels like she's got something to prove.
Well, Brandy is basically coming on there to calling her a scammer and asexual or something. And so, yeah, she's got to stick her tongue in Clayton's mouth just to shut that bitch up. Clayton's happy
Brandy,
as hell.
I blame you for that.
Oh, it's 100% Brandy's fault. But Clayton, I think he obviously is upset that his sister is talking so much shit about Annalie, but he's walking out of this happy because now Annalie is going to revenge fuck her own husband to prove that bitch wrong.
It's so true. It's true. This is where I get so confused. Is that when Brandy comes on stage, Annalie sends her a little heart signal. Did you see that?
Yeah.
And then Brandy rips into her she's a scammer. I thought she was a catfish. She has a boyfriend in Peru. What? But I will say this, Clayton, your sister basically planned your entire wedding. So the only reason that you guys are married is because Brandy pulled that shit together.
Definitely no gratitude for that at all.
Zero.
You know, how do you feel about the dad stuff and the lack of communication about her father and not telling her dad after it becomes clear that once he learned about this, he completely cut her out of his life? Does that change how you feel about her not telling her dad for as long as she did?
No, because if you're going to marry him, you've got to tell him sooner or later. But the dad, I want to know, again, I know that they're doing the Andre family Libby, what's she hiding? But it really does feel like she's hiding something, because there's this whole family drama on the Annalie side that we don't understand at all. We just know that her dad literally sent a text message to Sean Robinson that said, she should come home. I don't want anything to do with her. She's there. She doesn't need anything in the United States. I'm like, what? This is wild. We need answers.
I disagree. I saw this as not necessarily condoning not telling her father for as long as she did, but I do feel like it makes it seem a little bit more reasonable that she was so freaked out about it, because we see the result. This is someone that was really close with her father, and because of what she has done, it didn't even seem like it was because of the timing. He didn't say, well, she lied to me, she never told me what she was doing. It sounds like he cut her completely out of her life, out of his daughter's life, simply because she moved to another country. And if you're Annalie, that kind of feels like you were a little bit justified for at least being freaked out telling him, because you see what happened.
Yeah, but what were you going to do? Did she just want to make sure that they were going to get married?
Well, he doesn't have power or control over her. It made me think this was just pure fear and anxiety, and it was a band-aid she just was putting off, ripping off, because seems like she knew this would happen, and she just was putting it off because it fucking sucks, and she didn't want to deal with it.
I mean, it is pretty sad. Jasmine says, like, oh, Latin American parents are terrifying or something.
Everyone, I was like, really? Yeah. Jasmine and Manuel are like, yeah, I get it. They're team Annalie on this.
Yeah, they are. But I'm kind of out on Annalie. I didn't like how she blamed Brandy for the bachelorette party. I'm like, Annalie, you said you wanted that shit and you fucking had fun.
She had fun. Yeah.
Give me a break. Do not demonize Brandy for that, of all things.
Right. I mean, I could see her like in her head thinking, yeah, let's get a stripper is a joke. I could see that. But once it was happening, she was totally having a good time. Totally fine with it.
Totally.
I think the only reason that she was coming after Brandy was just as a response, because Brandy was like acting really crazy.
Brandy was, but I enjoyed it. I mean, again, like, there would have been no drama here. Why didn't they have Closet Mom on? Why did Closet Mom follow them to Tulsa? Why did they move to Tulsa? Like, can we get information? Can we ask them what they're doing in Tulsa? Why did they move there? Why did Mom follow them? Etc.
I think Annalie coming at Brandy for hiring the stripper has more to do with Clayton still feeling a little butthurt about it. And also maybe trying to head off the fact that she knew they were going to show the footage of her enjoying it. So let's blame Brandy so that I don't look as bad to Clayton.
I mean, Annalie says, or she claims she was traumatized. I was like, come on. No.
You were traumatized by your own fucking husband being a douchebag.
Right. Come on, Annalie. I don't know. I feel like Annalie is boring. She doesn't give us anything. Like, don't be on reality TV if you're not going to explain shit to me about your family and stuff. I just, like, I feel like I don't know anything about her.
I agree. As a contestant on the show, not that impressed. Clayton actually brought more entertainment by being such a piece of shit and an incel.
Totally. And like, we didn't even get anything about the fucking guinea pigs.
Except they get a room and mom doesn't, which I buy Clayton's explanation. But
hey, whatever. The guinea pigs need airflow. Mom, she can just suffocate in there.
Well, yeah. Do you really want a closet that's going to permanently smell like piss forever? No. You lose your deposit.
Instead, you have an entire apartment that continually smells like piss and wood chips.
Where is his mom supposed to go? The alternative would be she sleeps on the couch. Is that like all that much better? I don't know.
No, not really. Then we have Nick and Devin. See, the only takeaway I have from this is that Nick was on top of this green card shit. He was like, he filled out the paperwork the day after the wedding. He got his green card in 6 months. That means that all these other people that say like, oh, it takes forever, they're just not diligent about paperwork.
Yeah, there's a lot of dum-dums. He had a green card. He already has a job.
He's moved. He moved to Atlanta and he got a job as a project manager there. Good for you, dude.
Yeah. I don't know what company he's working for, but that could end up being like a really high paying, great position where you can make a full career out of it. So she's going to come soon. He's living in a hotel. I don't know. Who was it that I think it was like Clayton who was trying to make a bigger deal out of them not living together than it really is?
Yeah.
You know, moving out of your parents' house is a lot of work. It's really annoying, and good for him for trying to put down roots. Like, I didn't buy this whole, like, you guys are already sick of each other. Like, fuck off. I just don't.
She did say it's nice to have alone time away from him. Just like, you just got married, dude.
I mean, Devin is one of the most introverted people we've ever seen on this show. Like, she's not belong on reality TV at all.
She said like 5 words during this entire tell-all both weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the only thing that they have to talk about is like the piggy joke. They bring the parents out. Nick's like, again, this is just a cultural difference. We say piggy even when people are skinny or when they're not skinny. Like, it's just like a cultural thing. It's a term of endearment. And I think that people, I think it was Sophie, she made a good point that was like, okay, but like in Devin's culture, it means something offensive. So you know, maybe you should stop doing it because it's offensive in her language and culture. And he's like, okay, sorry, Devin, for calling you piggy for 4 years. Moving on.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty simple to me. I don't think that he's some horrible monster for it, but it is suspicious that everyone around him has told him this is not okay, and he still just doesn't think it's a big deal. I can see in your head just kind of compartmentalizing that and not emotionally feeling like, okay, oh shit, I guess I'm a bad person. Like, I guess I get not feeling that, but is it really that hard to just set it aside? Just call her fucking cute or come up with a new right. name. Call her rabbit,
bunny,
rabbity, right? Yeah, but thank you.
We both went to the rabbits. I don't know why.
Why did I go with rabbit instead of bunny?
My little guinea pig. Yeah.
So it's one of those things. Do you remember the English guy that we worked with? And once in a while, I would just randomly just say, yeah, I would make sure that he could hear. He's like, oh, yeah, I work with a guy from Wales. And he would like turn completely purple with rage. And, you know, one day it was pretty clear. Like, I only did it like twice, but the second time it was so clear how angry he was. I was like, you know what? I'm sorry, man. I didn't know that would be so offensive. I mean, fuck Wales, I guess. And I never did it again. Like, it's not, I just didn't, it's like not that hard.
Such a terrible example.
It's so stupid. It's so stupid. It's so
funny.
But it's kind of just, I only thought of that because it's so, because it's so stupid and it's no effort at all to just change something you're doing when it makes someone else angry, and especially if someone that you care about. I mean, this was someone that was a friend, so I'm not going to do it anymore.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty straightforward, but.
Guy really hated Welshmen. You know, what am I? I don't know. I don't know what his problem was.
Similarly to Chitra, though, like, Devin doesn't seem to care at all. So,
yeah.
Her parents are like, they even confirm, like, yeah, this is the size that she usually is. So we don't think that she lost weight because he was calling her piggy.
Right. Yeah. Nobody believes that, apparently.
Yeah. So we already kind of, Igor says a bunch of offensive stuff, like, Nikki doesn't know how to act like a lady, and Ashley loses it. We get the candle joke 20 more times, and then it's a wrap.
That's it. Thanks, y'all.
Nikki rubs her face in Tasman boobs, and
right.
Igor says American women don't give any respect.
I get no regard.
Hello, lovely listeners. Are you super bummed that this podcast is just about over? Do you want to hear extended podcast commentary on 90 Day Fiancé, 90 Day Gossip, and coverage for other 90 Day and reality TV? Or do you just really hate ads? If you want to listen to Kyle and I talk about the absurdity of the 90 Day franchise of shows and occasionally other reality TV for even more hours every week, sign up for our premium podcast feed either via Patreon or with our 30-second sign up on Supercast. It's only $5 a month. It's extremely easy to sign up for and add to the podcast app of your choice. You'll get an extended version of this podcast weekly, usually 1.5 to 2 hours long, and our B-Sides episode, which drops on Tuesdays, where we discuss more 90 Day Gossip, other 90 Day shows that are currently airing, and other reality TV. We're currently covering Single Life, 90 Day Diaries, and soon to be Love in Paradise, and also Love is Blind Season 6, and then Seeking Sister Wives. You'll also get full access to our complete archive podcast catalog. So what are you waiting for? Treat yourself. It's super easy to sign up. Go to realitycraycray.com to sign up now. That's realitycraycray.com.
So final thoughts on the season. How did you feel? Was this a success of 90 Day OG?
I think so. I enjoyed the season overall. I mean, I found, again, like Nikki and just any real influencer I find to be like too much. I was really surprised that I liked Sophie. I thought she was going to be like Nikki in like the influencer sphere, but she ended up being pretty genuine, I think, overall. So I think overall I enjoyed the season. Ashley and Manuel by far are the best. Clayton and Anneli brought a lot of humor just because Clayton was so absurd. Yeah, I think overall I liked it. What about you?
I found myself enjoying the storylines other than Nikki and Igor and Gino and Jasmine. I mean, Gino and Jasmine always have some funny moments, but I could leave them at this point, you know. But every other storyline, you know, brought drama except Nick and Devin, but they were on so little. It wasn't that big of a deal, really.
Yeah, I honestly forgot about them.
Yeah, and I found my favorite couple ended up, I think, being Sam and Chitra because it really harkened back to what 90 Day used to feel like.
Yeah, it sure did. I liked that it was a mix of like Ashley and Manuel type couples that were a little bit crazier. And then Sam and Chitra kind of brought us back down to earth. And they had enough like funny stuff to keep us interested. But yeah, they're by far the best couple out of the season.
Yeah. Overall, I think it was a well-composed cast. I think that Clayton, Anneli, Sam, Chitra, Nick, Devin being real storylines that are super clearly real. And then Ashley Emanuel felt genuine by the end of it, too. That's kind of like a record. Like four couples that you feel aren't fakey bullshit influencers. Like, dang. Okay.
I know. It's pretty good. We'll see what happens. The jury's out on Rob and Sophie. They gave us a lot to talk about, but it'll be interesting to see if they hold our attention on HEA. I maintain they're going to flip the script, so we'll see.
I agree. Yeah.
Well, thank you for listening. And if you're a Patreon member, stay tuned. We're going to talk about Seeking Sister Wife. Otherwise, thank you to our sponsors, Bolin Branch. If you go to bolinbranch.com, that's B-O-L-L and branch.com, use promo code CRAYCRAY to get 15% off your first order. Softest sheets. Pretty awesome. Thank you to Lomi. Turn your food waste into plant food at the press of a button with Lomi. Use code CRAYCRAY to get $50 off at lomi.com/CRAYCRAY. That's LOMI.com/CRAYCRAY. What are we talking about on B-Sides this week, Kyle?
We are talking about Single Life. Maybe the finale? I don't know. There's probably going to be a tell-all. Who fucking knows? The Single Life tell-alls are always really fucking entertaining and bizarre.
They are.
And then we are going to talk about the wedding episode of Love is Blind, where trains are wrecked.
It's great stuff.
Yeah.
We have Love in Paradise coming up soon on our B-Sides, which is our Patreon episode.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Oh, you didn't?
Yeah,
sorry, awesome. I thought I told you. After Single Life ends, we roll straight into Love in Paradise, which I love, just in time for spring. So you can go to realitycraycray.com to sign up for $5, either on Patreon or Supercast. Super easy.
And I'm going to go into Happily Ever After just feeling like Igor walking in the park on a spring morning with the birds chirping. It's going to be so amazing. Boy. Thanks for listening to 90 Day Fiancé Cray Cray. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen. You can follow us on Instagram and Threads at 90 Day Fiancé Cray Cray. Join our community of Cray Crays by subscribing to our premium podcast feed for $5, either on Supercast or Patreon by visiting realitycraycray.com. Benefits include 3 times the podcast content you get now, ad-free, covering all other 90 Day Fiancé content, and our listener-requested favorite shows outside 90 Day. Access to our members-only Facebook group with thousands of 90 Day fanatics, our podcast archives with over 600 episodes, all ad-free, and you can listen to all of that on your favorite podcast player. With an optional subscription add-on, you also get access to our long-form documentary podcast, D-Sides, where we cover the latest streaming documentaries. You're almost there, lazy. Go to realitycraycray.com and sign up literally in seconds if you use Apple Pay. All the links I've mentioned are in the show notes. Thanks again, and see you next week.